The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I don't know, unless you're downloading the podcast, right? And then it wouldn't be live. How could I be coming from, like, I don't understand. At some point it had to be live, right? First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Look, I go over this definition sometimes because I think it's helpful in the way you think about things. People seem to think dilemma means a tough choice. It's not what a dilemma means. A dilemma is a choice between two bad options. They're both bad. The Lakers are facing a dilemma right now. They're in a dilemma. Facing it, in it, have it, something with dilemma. The point is, if they play their guys to get even, forget about seeding for a second, just to get a rhythm going. If they play their guys, and I'm not thinking of LeBron as much as AD, a groin injury is the kind of thing like a hamstring. If you don't rest it until it's better, it's just going to get worse and worse. Don't forget, in success, a postseason in the NBA is 2 months long. And AD is just going to get worse and worse. So, what's the dilemma? Either rest AD the rest of the season. Now you're not going to be in the same kind of rhythm you'd otherwise be. And by the way, Dennis Schroeder passed the health and safety protocols. He's available. LeBron James should be able to play. And actually, I think those guys are more important because these are the guys with the ball in their hands. These are the guys who run the offense, LeBron and Schroeder. And LeBron always has that guy with him, right? Rondo last year in Cleveland, Kyrie, higher level, you know, Rondo and Kyrie. And in Miami, Wade. He has, you know, he's the primary ball handler and playmaker, LeBron, but also likes at least one other creator on the floor with him. And those are the guys who really need to get the team together. It's not even so much that they need their timing, is that they need to orchestrate the timing of the whole team. AD a little less so. We've seen AD recently. He got his basketball legs back, and he was dominant. He beat Denver, outplayed Jokic, beat the Suns, outplayed Ayton. I think you got to rest AD right now. So the dilemma is, do you play AD, possibly exacerbating the groin, lowering your chances in the long run to win the chip? Or do you rest him, interfering with team chemistry and rhythm heading into the playoffs? And the answer is to this dilemma, remember, both bad options, meaning I'm not discounting the arguments against doing this. They're legitimate. I just think there are stronger arguments the other way. You rest AD right now. You make sure that the groin is as you know, uninjured, as healed as possible. Because let me tell you something about Lakers fans, everybody, that you, if you're not a Lakers fan, maybe you don't know. The only reason Lakers fans are interested in winning a championship is because you can't repeat before you win the first one. And the only reason they want to repeat is you can't three-peat without two in a row. The Lakers are interested in dynasties, and the Buss family understands this. Lakers won the championship last year. If you ever talked to Kobe about this, or talked to Pat Riley about it, right? If you don't win the championship, is it a successful season? No. You have a bunch of other teams, maybe 29 other teams, who will tell you, yeah, we got to the conference finals. Not the Lakers. Every season they don't win the championship, it's not a successful season, right? And that standard, the highest in the history of basketball, informs my thinking here. It doesn't matter if the Lakers get knocked out in the play-in or in the finals. It's the same thing. Win the championship. Increase the odds as much as possible to win the championship. How do you do that? Let's say you don't play AD. So you wind up in the end, and he's going to be missing some rhythm, right? Your team will be a little out of sorts, thereby lowering the chance that you can actually beat your first round opponent. So what? So what? Give it your best shot, and hopefully you win that series. And hopefully a better healed up AD is ready for the long haul. Because take the opposite. You get through that first round, and AD is not quite right, and he keeps getting worse and worse. You think you're going to win in the second round? You think you're going to win in the conference finals? You think you're going to beat the Eastern Conference champion? No. Your best shot is to make sure AD is as close to perfect as possible in terms of his health. Now, if the Lakers play in the play-in tournament and AD has to kind of figure things out a little bit as he comes back, and by the way, this goes for LeBron too, even if LeBron has to miss games, and that's a big thing, you're at a disadvantage heading into the play-in. But let's say the reality is LeBron does too. I'm not saying he does, but let's say he does. Even Schroeder, like, none of that bothers me. I mean, it's terrible, but, you know, this is the reality. It's a dilemma. Two bad options. You head into the playing game, and there's Steph Curry, and he goes for 50, and you lose. Now you got to play with everything on the line. One game against the Spurs or the Grizzlies or a team like that. My money's on the Lakers with AD and LeBron as healthy as possible. And I'm willing to take that chance as a Lakers fan and then head into a series with the Suns. With my star players ready to go, I'd rather their timing be a little off in a seven-game series, even in two little one-game sets. I'd rather their timing be a little off than AD be physically compromised. In other words, not really AD. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Look, this was not my first choice. My first choice, and I thought it was lining up this way. Ooh, the Lakers are going to have 5-6 games at the end of the year to get everything in sync, get going, get ahead of steam, and boom, hit the ground running in the first round. Didn't happen that way. So you can't throw good money after bad. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to cry about it, or you're going to chart the best possible path? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. By the way, Jerry West is angry. He was left off Jeannie Buss's top five list of the most important Lakers of all time. Hoop du jour with Peter Vesey is where Jerry West was talking. Listen to this quote by Jerry West. And understand, Jerry West is so humble, in public at least, about his career as a player and executive, that for him to say this to me seems like, whoa. Quote, I saw the other day Jeannie Buss made a statement. The five most important Lakers. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Jerry West said Jeannie Buss said her list of the top five most important Lakers, which she's doing off the cuff, right, is one of the most offensive things he's ever heard in his life. That means he was most offended by this. In his life. I was there a lot of times, had a lot of success, West told Vesey. Be curious to know if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there. And I don't ever take credit for stuff. I don't. When I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm, West went on. But I do know that when this thing fell apart, there was a lot of years where they weren't very good. I agree with Jerry West here. Jerry West can be cranky and kind of contrarian. He can be contrary. But he's right here. And here's where Jeannie made the mistake. She put all players, top five Lakers, not even a Mount Rushmore. You get a little extra slot, right? But she took one non-player, and it was her ex, Phil Jackson. Now, that could raise an eyebrow even along coaching lines. Are we sure Phil Jackson belongs there over Pat Riley? I'm not. When I think of Lakers, I more closely associate Pat Riley with, like, Lakers championships than Phil Jackson. I know Phil won five and Pat won four. But the Showtime Lakers, the Lakers that changed the whole narrative from, like, the Celtics are way, 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 way up here and everyone else is way down here to, ooh, it's the Celtics and the Lakers. That was under Pat Riley for the most part. Magic, Kareem, Worthy was mostly Pat. Four of them were with Pat Riley. So, and by the way, credit Jerry West, because originally, Dr. Jerry Buss, the late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, the greatest owner in the history of American team sports by so much it's embarrassing, he kind of messed that up a little bit in the beginning. He said it's Jerry West and Pat Riley are like co-coaches. And it was Jerry West who said, no, Pat Riley's the coach. You know what that music means? Michael Thompson, father knows best. Speaking of Lakers champions, he's one half of the Lakers play-by-play team on the Goodyear Hotline. He's also a two-time Lakers champion, backing up Kareem, a former number one overall draft pick, averaged 20 and 12 before he ever got to the Lakers, and Klay Thompson's daddy. Michael!
Max, my boy, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
My all-time Laker, my five Lakers of all time,
yep.
No matter who, whether it's front office players, broadcasting, my five would be the three players that I don't think anybody can argue with are Magic, Kobe, and Kareem. And then the other two guys on my five list would be Dr. Buss, basically the Jerrys, Dr. Buss and Jerry West, because those two guys built the dynasty.
Yeah, I agree with that, but also this is how gangster it is on the Lakers, Michael. Like, Chick Hearn, someone could argue, maybe should be there. And when you talk about players, like, if I gave you a Mount Rushmore and I said Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Elgin Baylor, and said, actually, those four guys, none of them make the Mount Rushmore of the Lakers. Oh, my God. But how can you cannot leave Jerry West off? Can you leave Jerry West off? Michael, he was one of the greatest players ever and maybe the greatest executive who ever lived. How could he be left off?
One of the greatest players ever, like you said, and the greatest sports executive that's ever lived, regardless of sport. He built a dynasty. And he recognizes talent, I think, better than any other scout or evaluator in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the Lakers' Mount Rushmore, like, the two that have to be on no matter what are Magic and Kobe, right? And
right,
then you have
right.
you start getting into arguments. And I would agree, Kareem got five with him. It's Kareem next. And I think Jerry West,
right.
I think that's the Lakers' Mount Rushmore. I apologize to everyone else, including especially Shaq. And now LeBron, if he can repeat under these circumstances, amazing. But I want to get into that
but
now.
But the thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, if we were in the barbershop talking about this with 10 guys, 10 people will have probably different Mount Rushmores.
Yeah.
That's the fun part about talking about this.
That's true, but then I weigh in with mine, and that's the end of the barbershop conversation. That's it. I decide
right.
the whole
there
thing.
There you go.
Hey,
right.
Michael, let me ask you something. I know it's a bad choice. It's a dilemma, a choice between two bad options. But at this point, I would be in favor of resting AD the rest of the regular season. I think that groin is a persistent issue. I want him. I'll sacrifice some rhythm and timing for a more healthy AD in that first round matchup because I'm not worried about the play-in. If they lose the first game, they'll win the second. They ain't going to lose two play-in games in a row with LeBron and AD. I want AD healthy. It's a bad choice. I get it. But what do you choose?
Not a bad choice. That's the right choice. I mean, because let's say they have to play in the play-in game and play two games. Big deal. They can handle that, but you're right. The key for this Laker team is health, like it is for everybody. But, of course, with the Lakers, when you have the two best players in the game, arguably in AD and LeBron, healthy, and then a strong supporting cast who's been there, done that as far as winning a championship, they should be the favorites. But like everybody else, to me, if the Lakers are fully healthy, I don't see anyone beating them.
Well, I see the Nets. I hate to say it, Michael. I really do root for the Lakers. But I think if all those three guys are healthy – I don't see how they could, like, what do you have to score? I don't care what your defense is. They're going to score 130 on you. Like, you're going to have to come up with 131 points to beat these guys. But before we get into too deep into that whole thing, here's my next theory. I want to see what you think about it. The playoff seeding, which people seem to be concerned about, Michael, the more I thought about it in the last week or two, the more I came to the conclusion, I think I would rather have them a 7 seed and have to go through the play-in, because even if they lose to the Blazers or Warriors, it's possible if Dame or Steph get hot. They ain't going to lose to the Spurs or the Grizzlies, especially coming off a loss. And I would rather them have that kind of playoff intensity heading into the playoffs and then play the Suns in the first round, who have no answer for AD, than have to go in cold to a best of 7 against the Clippers in the first round. Am I crazy or am I right?
Max, I learned my lesson back in 1989. What's that, 30 years ago? So don't pick and choose your opponents because they could come back to bite you. I wanted to play the Phoenix Suns in the second round in 1989, and you know what happened? We got beat. We got upset. So I don't want to go through that again and say, well, I'd rather pick this team or play that team and disrespect some team and go, yeah, I want to play them and not play those guys. Just play who's in front of you.
I agree with that.
And just take care of your business.
I agree with that. But I'm not asking as someone like – on the team who's planning on what to do, or in the front office or the coaching staff. I'm saying, in terms of a rooting interest as a Lakers fan, what do you think gives them the higher probability to advance? Playing AD and everybody and going for that sixth seed, avoiding a play-in, and then walking into a first-round matchup with the Clippers? Or resting AD, winding up maybe partly as a result as a seventh seed, having to go through a play-in and then facing the Suns? Which is the better scenario for the Lakers?
Resting AD and LeBron to make sure that they are 100% healthy for round one or whatever, play-in or whatever. Just making sure those guys are healthy. That is the best scenario for the Lakers. That's all that matters, is the health of LeBron and Anthony Davis.
What matchup do you like better? Again, I agree with you. Don't hope for it if you're a player. You know, who knows? But when you analyze it from this position, what matchup do you like better for the Lakers, the Clippers or the Suns?
It doesn't matter, because think about it. No team in the West or in the NBA, well, especially in the West, has a matchup that could compare to LeBron and Anthony Davis.
That's
Nobody
true.
Matches up against Anthony Davis. Nobody can stop LeBron. So as long as the Lakers have the advantage with those two guys, they can. It doesn't matter who they play in the playoffs.
Talking to Michael Thompson, this is Father Knows Best. Michael Thompson, of course, Klay Thompson's daddy and the former number one overall pick and a two-time Laker champion. On the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. But Michael, let me tell you why I'm a little nervous about the Clippers, more than a little, if it's a first-round matchup. And I don't think that's what's going to happen. But if it is, the Clippers now have Rondo. And one of the issues they had last year was they were asking Kawhi basically to be a point forward. He did it as well as he could. It's not really him. And so their offense didn't flow. It was sort of a station-to-station offense, right? And now that they have Rondo, who's a proven playoff performer, playoff Rondo, as everyone says, is a real thing, organizing that offense with not only Kawhi and Paul George, and Paul George got to be looking to prove himself in the playoffs this year. Kawhi's got to be super motivated the way he went out in Game 7. He's been a very clutch player his whole career. Given the depth of the team, and Michael, given the fact that the Clippers, sure, they never get to the conference finals, but they frequently get to the second round of the playoffs, I would actually make the Lakers underdogs because of the health and kind of continuity heading into the playoffs against the Clippers. None of that makes you nervous?
You're going to make the Lakers underdogs with the champions they have on their team, and the Clippers haven't won anything yet. Obviously, they got a champion in Kawhi Leonard, but the Lakers have a team full of champions going into a playoff against the Clippers, and you have them as the underdog probably the greatest leader this game has ever seen outside of Magic Johnson. Are you nuts?
Yeah, maybe, but I do. I would have them as underdogs, not because if they walked in both healthy, everything, no. But given what the Lakers have gone through, no shooter for a long time, he's got to be in basketball shape, and he's like, you know, one of the conductors of the offense. LeBron's been in and out of the lineup. Anthony Davis is ailing with the groin. Yeah. I worry. You know, Talen Horton Tucker's been playing point recently. Okay, I want to get to you about Jake and Logan Paul, Michael Thompson. I'm very curious about your opinion of them, because a lot of the boxing world hates the fact that I had Jake Paul on Max on Boxing. I talked to Logan Paul here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. But then there are others in boxing who are thinking like me, like, hey, these kids are turning people on to boxing. You know, and they're training hard. They're doing as well as they can. They're making big events. What's the harm? Where do you land on Jake and Logan Paul?
I love what these guys are doing, Max. You're right. These guys are generating interest in the fight game, because when you look at today's current fighters, Teofeo Lopez, we can't get him in the ring against Devin Haney. We can't get Joshua and Fury to agree on a fight. We can't get Terrence Crawford and Spence in the ring. So since we can't get the fights we want, we might as well go the alternate route and get these entertaining fights, these exhibition fights, because we're not getting the other fights we want. So I love what the Pauls are doing, bringing this kind of interest. And it's intriguing to see if a 44-year-old smaller Mayweather can deal with a 190-pound novice, if that guy's going to, you know, put his size and power on Floyd and sort of overwhelm him into some kind of a phone booth fight. So I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see it, because we ain't seeing no other kind of intriguing fights.
That's
in the fight game.
That's a really
Boxing's
good
a
take.
Disgrace these days.
This is why I wanted to talk to Michael Thompson about it. That's a really good take. In other words, the reason the door is left open for these kind of events and fan interest in these events is because in the absence of regularly seeing the fights the fans really want, there's another way to gin up interest in making big events. So we have the Junior Welterweight Championship of the World, Jose Ramirez against Josh Taylor. That's going to be a terrific matchup, evenly matched, undisputed championship on the line. It's going to be a war the whole way, but the general public doesn't know these guys. And those kind of fights are few and far between. So that's leaving the door open for this stuff, and why not make a big event? Did you hear what Floyd said about this, Michael? He said, I'm not putting my O in jeopardy for any amount of money. You know, I'm 50 and 0. I'm not putting that O in jeopardy, but I don't have to. I'd make $35 million for risking it at the age of 44 against a experienced boxer, or I can make $100 million to fight an exhibition. Why wouldn't I do that? He's right.
Yeah, he's definitely right, and it's a whole kind of show. It's rap artists, it's musical guests, so it's a whole event. And that's what you get caught up in is the whole atmosphere of the thing and the hype and the buildup of it. It's a lot of fun, so I can't wait to see it because, like I said, boxing ain't giving us what we want to see, so we might as well go another route.
Yeah, I also respect novices who are willing to train, get in shape, and risk it all, you know, like in making a big event in the boxing ring. That takes guts what these guys are doing. They were making money before boxing. So, I don't know. I respect it. A lot of people don't. Michael Thompson, the great Michael Thompson. How's Clay doing, Michael? He's getting ready?
Yeah, he's coming along just fine. Working hard every day, and he'll be back.
Very good. Michael Thompson on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I have to have Michael on. Father Knows Best segment on Max on Boxing pretty soon. He's been on the show. Michael gives some of the best boxing analysis out there.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Ooh, I got some good Lakers propaganda for you, LA. Just occurred to me. I'm going to tell you in a little while. It's got to be a reveal. You got to stick around until 3. Well, what is so? 3 o'clock minus, I guess, noon. See how quick I did that in my head, Raj? I immediately subtracted 3 hours. I'll tell you why, for the time difference.
Because you're the best.
And I went immediately in my head just like this. I didn't even have to go like 3 to 2, 2 to 1, 1 to noon. I just immediately knew it. I'm like a savant.
You know why you did that, Max? You know why I did that?
Why that?
Because you're the best.
That's right. Wax on, wax off. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Oh, is this good Lakers propaganda, Lakers fans? You're going to love this one. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. I mean, when I tell you this is good propaganda, you can wield it like a cudgel to make the fans of every other franchise feel bad about themselves. All right? That's how good it is. And feel bad about their team. Was the Patriot way, speaking of feeling bad, really the Tom Brady way all along? Their first year apart. Bill Belichick's team missed the playoffs with 7 wins while Brady won his 7th ring. Listen to Tom Brady Sr. That would be Tom Brady's father. You realize, Raj, if my Cliff prediction would have been true, I would have been Tom Brady's father. But because it was so spectacularly wrong, he's kind of my father, meaning this is my grandfather. On Zolak and Bertrand Sports Hub. Listen to what Tom Brady's dad said about what Tom Brady's about to do with Bill Belichick.
The schedule came out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the 4th game of the season. We're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the 4th game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly. I think the fans at Gillette will embrace them until the opening kickoff. And then they're going to boo the hell out of him, which is great. While he's happy now, I think he's starting to realize that the end of the career is coming to an end, and he's just savoring every moment as he walks down the final stretches, whether it's the next 1 year, 2 years, or 12 years.
Hear what he said. It's almost a Freudian slip. He said, I think he sees now that the end of his career is coming to an end. That means the career is going to keep going. I think that might have been what it really meant. His dad's been talking about that for as long as I have. Like, it's kind of like the end here. Since I made the Cliff prediction, and his dad was talking about, hey, who knows how much longer he's going to play at that point. Since I made the Cliff prediction, that was 5 years ago, Tom Brady has had a full Hall of Fame career. In other words, if you pick up his career when I made the prediction and he never played another football game from now, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. First ballot. He had a couple of MVP caliber seasons. He went to 4 Super Bowls and won 3. Is that right? Or was it? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. When I made the prediction, and I didn't think he would fall off the cliff for 18 months, but the point is, never mind that. From the point I made the prediction was July of 2016. So what was that? Seahawks, Falcons, Eagles, miss one, and then they just won.
About the Rams. Rams.
Oh, Rams. No, no. So maybe it doesn't include the Seahawks. How many has it been? Has he somehow won? Has he somehow gone to 6 Super Bowls in 5 years? I wouldn't put it past him. But look, the Patriot way, a lot of that was Bill Belichick picking up from Bill Parcells how you deal with the media. You know, kind of don't let them see you have too much fun, at least in public, right? Things have changed. The proliferation of media, I mean, I thought at that time, because we're really dealing with the 21st century. Tom Brady came on the scene right at the start of the century, and we're up to 2021. And so the 21st century has been about Tom Brady in football the whole time. It was Brady and Belichick. But the way Brady has set this up, he ditched Belichick. You're going to try and ditch me? I'm going to ditch you. He left Belichick without a quarterback, and then he chose the most loaded team in the NFL. That team was so loaded that a god-awful quarterback still won 7 games with him. How bad was Jameis Winston? He threw 30 interceptions for a total of 112 points to the other team. Lost his starting job, obviously. Didn't start all of last year and may not even start this upcoming season, even though the incumbent Drew Brees retired. And they basically got a fullback they're going to give the quarterback position to instead of Jameis Winston, it looks like, and Taysom Hill. Or a wideout, or a running back, whatever you want to call Taysom Hill. A receiver. He's going to get the job over Jameis Winston. That's how bad Jameis Winston was. He still won 7 games. Then they added Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski. And Leonard Fournette. Playoff Lenny. So he set himself up love. And left Belichick without a lot. Won the Super Bowl. Belichick misses the playoffs. Goes under 500. And as much as I'm tempted to say the Patriots way is still Belichick, I do have to acknowledge that the luck seemed to follow Brady. The way the Patriots always seemed to get lucky in the past. Luck is the residue of design, right? Now they weren't getting lucky. Goal line stand, Bobby Wagner stops. Cam Newton, they lose to Seattle. Cam Newton gets stripped in the red zone by the Bills. Lose to Buffalo. Wind up 7-9. And Brady catches breaks along the way. The other guy's offensive line keeps getting hurt on the way to the Super Bowl. But the Patriot way really seemed a lot like luck being the residue of design, and it followed Brady down to Tampa. Belichick's job this year, get further in the playoffs than Brady. He's not expected just to win the Super Bowl to even it up. If he can get a round further in these playoffs than Brady, Belichick will have opened up the debate again, because right now, Brady's winning that debate. Last night, by the way, Giannis was in the zone. The Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'd love to get to some calls, but I've once again fallen in love with the sound of my own voice. Be quiet. Be quiet, Raj. I can't help it. I'm like Narcissus looking into the thing and seeing his reflection. And he couldn't move. He was stuck there forever. That's how I am, but with my own voice. Which doesn't sound so great to me, but for some reason, I can't stop listening to it. This weekend is the final dress rehearsal for the MVP. I'll tell you who I like, and I'm going to get to your calls coming up. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the 9th inning, good or maybe not that good, but pretty darn good, I'm supposed to say. I always say damn good.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 tomorrow night, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. Who's going to make a final push for MVP this weekend? The Joker, Embiid, Giannis, Chris Paul, Steph, someone else? Jokic got this thing locked up. Come on, let's face it. Over, he hasn't missed any games. He put up the best numbers. You know, PER is not a perfect stat. Obviously, he's leading the league by quite a bit in PER. He has 31-something PER. But, like, just to show you that there is a pretty strong correlation between PER and, like, really, really, really good players, you know who has the highest lifetime PER ever? Michael Jordan. You know who's number two? LeBron James. You know what I mean? It correlates pretty well with that stuff. All right, look, I got to get to some calls here. I got some Laker propaganda to beat you in the head with coming up, but I got to get to some calls here. Solomon in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing? You know, here's the thing. Long, long time Laker fan. I watched Baylor and West play at the Sports Arena. Mm-hmm. And I almost don't care who your other four are. If you don't have Jerry West in that top five, something is terribly wrong. That man
not top four. Forget about top five. Top four. If you have a Mount Rushmore, you got to put Jerry West there. He was the Kobe Bryant of his day. Didn't win as many championships. I get it. But he was, you know, the MVP, face of the league, great 30-point-a-night scorer. And then he became the greatest executive of all time. Like, what do you want the guy to do? He's both. I don't see how you could leave Jerry West off. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, I got to disagree with you on two counts. First of all, you got to put George Mike in there. Oh, yeah. All-time great Laker, Minneapolis Lakers. They went to Los Angeles, hence the term Lakers,
Richard,
because there are no lakes in
George
Los
Mike
Angeles.
Stuff. You gotta
number
stop
two, the greatest
Mike.
Sports executive owner, George Steinbrenner.
Not even close.
He created everything that goes on in baseball now. And he was the great. Him and Billy Martin did the greatest commercial, not sports commercial.
Commercial,
the greatest commercial, Miller Lite commercial I've ever seen.
Wait, Richard, hold on. Slow down. Steinbrenner was a great owner. But there were decades, there was more than 10 years where Steinbrenner interfered with Yankees' success, trading away prospects, signing mid-level type free agents to too much money. He interfered with their success. That's why he didn't have as much success as Dr. Jerry Buss. Steinbrenner's on the list, but Dr. Jerry Buss is so far ahead of Steinbrenner in terms of great owners. And I'm a Yankees fan before I'm anything else. Number one for me is the Yankees. Before any other team comes the Yankees. But you can't compare George Steinbrenner to Dr. Jerry Buss. I'm sorry, you can't do it. Steinbrenner revived the Yankees brand. Dr. Buss took the Lakers from a distant second in the NBA to the Celtics to clearly the number one basketball brand of all time, with as many championships as the Celtics and way more in the modern era. Come on, Richard, George, Mike, and will you stop it? Dr. Mark in Wisconsin, you want to talk about the ankle sprain? Talking about LeBron now?
Yeah, hi. I've been a fan of yours since I started following boxing. I have two questions for you. Yeah. One's a boxing question on when Jab Zuda fought Mayweather. I was at that fight. I thought Jab was winning. Mm-hmm. But my big question is, I love your linguistic skills, and I hear about high ankle sprains. And I'm a board-certified sports surgeon, and treated surgically, people can usually return to play within 4 to 6 weeks. Treated non-operatively, it's 4 to 6 months. Mm. Similar to what was done to the Alabama quarterback. I just wonder why, with LeBron and how valuable he is, if the medical information is adequate, the high ankle sprain, which means a syndesmotic disruption, why they didn't choose early operative intervention. Thank you.
Well, that's a good question. I think because there's so much on the line this year, you know? But if what you're saying is right, and operatively, you know, like for him to really function at his very best is 4 to 6 months, LeBron won't be at his best. Do I believe LeBron can be at something less than his best and still get out of the West? Not if Anthony Davis is less than his best also. I think more than anyone, AD's got to rest. I think 85% of LeBron, 90% of LeBron, you can still get out of the West. I don't think they're going to beat the Nets if the Nets are healthy. But who says the Nets will be healthy, by the way? But AD is going to have to be at his best, because if he's not at his best, what that really means is he's going to get worse and worse. Because if he's not at his best, it's the groin. And that's only going to be exacerbated by playing. You got to rest AD now while you can, because once the playoffs start, the play-in is the playoffs, guys. Regular season's over. You're in the postseason. It's the playoffs. Once that starts, there's no resting AD. Maybe load managing, like 25, 28 minutes in playoff games, and having Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell suck up a lot of those 4 and 5 minutes off the bench. But you're going to have to play every game, AD. Rest them now, I think, when you have the chance. It's less than ideal. I get it. Taylor in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, what's going on, Max? I got 2 points, man. Clippers, Flippers, Big Tippers. Doesn't matter, LeBron in 7.
Okay.
That's my first point. Second point, dude, this play-in thing is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a huge EPL fan. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. It keeps every single night I'm watching this game because for 2 weeks out of the regular season, typically everyone's resting. You got all these, you know, non-playoff contenders not playing. I love this play-in. I hope they keep it. It keeps it interesting. And if you're not going to have relegation, this is the next best thing.
All right. Got something for Lakers fans coming up. The Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.